The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
It's still morning. Let's just check on that real quick. Yeah, I think we have a couple minutes left. All right. Well, so we're continuing our Solid Ground series, as I said earlier. And man, there's so much in the Bible about family. And really, when you start to look at the people of God, like the people of Israel as God established a nation, there's so many parallels between what God did with His people and what He established and the guidelines that He set for them and what He set for the family as well. It's almost like you can't talk about one without talking about the other. And that's kind of what we're going to do this morning as we jump into today's message. So, like I said, today's message is a godly family legacy. And so if you have your bulletins, it just says a family legacy. That's because I forgot to put the word godly there when I was creating that. That's the only reason. But anyway, no confusion. It is this week's bulletin notes that you can take. So what does it mean to have a legacy? What does it mean to leave a legacy behind? Maybe you've heard that term before and you're just like, I don't know what that means. Like I've heard people say, you got to leave a legacy, or your grandparents left this legacy, right? And you're like, well, you know, sure, they left a coffee table and, you know, a shoebox full of pictures, but, you know, what's a legacy? So I went through the trouble of getting the definition for you. And I was actually kind of surprised. There was like several definitions of the word legacy that I'd never really heard applied to that word before. This is kind of the only definition that that's ever popped up in my head when I think of the word legacy. But when we talk about a godly legacy, think of it in terms of this definition. And the definition of legacy here is the long-lasting impact of particular events, actions, or processes that took place in the past of a person's life or organization. I know that's a big mouthful, but the whole idea behind it is that your current actions and the things that you're involved in, the things that you're doing, they're creating a legacy, okay? And basically, the impact that all of your actions have now are going to have an impact on people in the future. Mostly your family, unless you're like, you know, a famous person who's like a world changer and you're like making major decisions that are going to affect large groups of people. I mean, obviously, there's much more responsibility there in that legacy. But the reality is that every single one of us are responsible for the legacy that we leave. And so as families that want to follow Jesus and as people that love God, we want to also leave behind a legacy. But our legacy actually starts at the very beginning. It's not like something where at the tail end of your life, you can all of a sudden be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna start doing things right now so that I can leave, you know, a good legacy behind. No, it actually starts way, way before that, because every decision you make and every action that you take is eventually going to affect somebody, and probably the people that are closest to you. So your family is going to be the ones that are really mostly affected by your legacy. So we're going to be in Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 10. And so what I want you to do as we kind of read this passage is think through what God is communicating to His people, the people of God that he has set aside as a holy people that are going to represent Him among the nations. Because there are so many parallels between what God established for His people and what God has established for the family. And we'll talk about those things. But let's read Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 10. It says, look, and this, by the way, this is Moses is receiving the Ten Commandments, right? He's giving God's rules, God's guidelines to the people of God. Look, I now teach you these decrees and regulations just as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may obey them in the land you're about to enter and occupy. Obey them completely, and you will display your wisdom and intelligence among the surrounding nations. When they hear all these decrees, they will exclaim, how wise and prudent are the people of this great nation.
For what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him? And what great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and fair as this body of instructions that I'm giving you today? But watch out. Be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Never forget the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, "Summon the people before me, and I will personally instruct them. Then they will learn to honor me as long as they live, and they will teach their children to honor me also." So, Father, as we get ready to dive into this passage and learn what you have for us today about leaving a godly legacy, you've already showed us so much about what a family is made up and the very beginnings and how we fully represent you and the image of the triune God is represented in the family. All these truths, God, that you've given us so far, I pray, Father, that we would recognize the importance and the value of following hard after you so that we can leave a legacy that is going to impact people for good and cause them to pursue you. Help us to do that today as we dig into this passage. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's talk about some of the parallels between the people of Israel, who are a unique people amongst the nations. God set aside and gave the people of Israel specific rules and guidelines that nobody else in the land had, right? It wasn't like every nation had a specific set of rules that they were following, and certainly they weren't following rules that were fair and just and righteous like the ones that God was giving to his people. So before we jump into kind of what we're going to talk about today, let's draw some parallels between the uniqueness of the people of God and the uniqueness of a godly family. So here it is. The uniqueness of a godly family. In verse 5, it says, "No other nation has laws that are as fair as the ones the Lord my God told me to give you." Now, growing up in a Christian home did not mean that many times I didn't say to my parents the words, "It's not fair." Okay, that was kind of a regular thing, you know. I would see that my brother was getting treated differently than I was getting treated, even though he deserved the same treatment. And I would say, "It's not fair." You know, I would see somebody get away with something and I would get in trouble for it. "It's not fair." Okay, there was a lot of "it's not fair," right? And it's not like I was a little kid looking for justice, right? I'm all about, you know, justice and equality and I was just trying to get away with stuff, right? And felt mistreated if I wasn't getting the same treatment as everybody else. But listen to what this says. It says, "No other nation has laws that are as fair as the ones the Lord my God told me to give you." And the idea is that the law is just, okay? But here's the thing. A godly family is unique because it does not live by its own standards. It lives by God's. A godly family doesn't develop their own standards and their own way of life because God's already done that for them. They look to what God has already established for the family. And that's a unique thing because every other family in the world that's operating without God is kind of doing their own thing. They're just trying to figure it out. They're making up their own rules, you might say. And it's really not going well for them. Verse 6 says, "If you faithfully obey them when you enter the land, you will show other nations how wise you are." The key word here is faithfully obey. If you faithfully obey them. And my friends, it's not easy. It's hard work to faithfully obey God's word. To do what God's really calling you to do, to be faithful to that, that's hard work. So I say, few families are willing to put in the hard work that it takes to be a godly family or to leave a godly legacy. Maybe they'll start out that way. And maybe you've known families that start out, you know, trying to do everything right, and then as as life goes along, they get a little more lax and a little more lax, and finally it's just like they have no values, it seems like. And I'm not talking about, you know, how parents are more strict with their firstborn than they are with their third or fourth, right? Because that's a reality. That happens, right? Your firstborn, it's like you don't let him pick up stuff off the ground and, you know, and eat stuff. You're just like, "Oh, don't touch that. It's dirty," right? And then by the time you have your third kid, it's like they're out there eating dirt. You're like, how does it taste, buddy? It's good, right? You know, you don't have the same, you know, anxiety over that kind of stuff. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how we have a standard that we live by, and we're being faithful to that standard. And it's hard work to do that. And if we start out on the right path, we have to stay consistent. We have to stay devoted to that. We have to just decide, hey, this is the rules we're going to follow. This is the way we're going to do family, and we're not going to budge. We're not going to change it. We're not going to let somebody else come in and tell us how to operate. Because here's the thing. The world wants to tell you what your family is supposed to look like. They're going to tell you. The world has their own values, and they're going to be constantly pushing those values on you and your family. And they're going to say, oh, this is how you're supposed to treat that situation. This is how you're supposed to respond to your kid when your kid says that. The world has their own way of operating, but that's not the way that we operate as followers of Jesus. But like I said, very few families are willing to do the hard work that it takes to follow after God and leave a godly legacy. And then the rest of verse 6 says, in fact, everyone that hears about your laws will say that great nation certainly is wise. So you hear what's happening here? The people of other nations are looking at God's people and saying, wow, there's something different about them. They seem to be having a way healthier experience than I am. They seem to be flourishing when I'm just struggling. And even when they're struggling, they seem to have peace and joy. Does that sound familiar to you? See, a godly family will cause other families to sit up and take notice. If you are a family that's putting God first and you are leaving a godly legacy and that's something that you're thinking about, other families are going to look at you and they're going to take notice. I remember as a little kid, there was an elderly gentleman in the church, and he would always watch our family. We were a family of six kids, and so, you know, we'd come in and we'd feel like a whole row in church, right? And so we're all there, and my mom had these, you know, she had these very strict rules about how you were supposed to sit in church and what you were not allowed to do. And all she had to do was, like, snap her fingers. That snap was like death, right? You hear that thing, you're like, oh, man, I'm in trouble, right? Mom saw it. So you dreaded that. You didn't want to hear that. And so you all just sat in a row. But my sister, as time went on, my older sister kind of started adapting some of those qualities that my mom had, you know, where my sister would, like, snap every once in a while and be like, really? Like, you know, why does that snap sound so much like mom? It's like, what's going on here, right? And there was this elderly gentleman in church, and he would watch us all the time. And then one day, he goes up to my sister and he gives her, like, I don't know, like a $20 bill or something. Maybe it wasn't that much because that's a lot of money back then. But anyway, he gave her some money. He's like, I just wanted to give this gift to you because I see you as kind of a mother hen to your brothers and sisters. And I'm like thinking, oh, come on, you know, where's my money, right? But what I didn't get was that he was recognizing that my parents were passing down a godly legacy and my sister was picking up on it. And she was like, oh, this is how it's supposed to look. This is how family is supposed to operate. And people recognize that. They value it. They sit up and take notice when your family is operating in that way. Okay, that's not the sermon. that's just the prelude. So the first thing I want you guys to see in this passage that we looked at was that we need to place God at the center. We need to place God at the center. Look what it says in verse 7. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Here's the thing we need to recognize. If you're going to have a godly legacy, your family cannot be distant from God. Your family cannot keep its distance from God because God must be at the center. And God is telling us, I'm right here, I'm near to you, and all you need to do is call on me. In fact, James 4, verse 8 tells us, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. God's response to us and our desire to draw close to him is that he draws close to us. And the reality is, God is actually pulling us in close to him because he never moves, right? He never changes. And so we're always the one that takes a step back. The problem is that we often think that God is way up there, right? That he's way up there and he's out of reach, right? That he's so far away and he's disengaged from my life and the reality that I'm dealing with. But the Bible says the complete opposite of that. Jeremiah 23:23 says, am I not a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? He's saying, I am right here. I am present with you. We've talked a lot about that, especially during the Christmas season. We talked about how God was intentional about being with us, about giving us his presence. God is not a God that is far away. We are the ones that think God is far away. I saw this this little illustration earlier, right? Seems like God's too far away, right? He's got his telescope out. He's like, I can't see anything, right? Just pressed right up against him. But the whole idea is that God is right there, and it's us that don't see God because we're not tuned into God and we're not paying attention to what he's doing, and we're the ones that somehow think that God is far away. Psalms 145, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. That simply means that if we call on God with sincerity, like if we truly, genuinely want to be close to God, that God is going to listen and hear, and he's going to draw us closer to him. But look at verse 8 in our passage. It says, what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Remember I said that other nations may have had guidelines or regulations, but none of them had a law that was just and that was righteous in the way that God's law is that he gives to his people. And the same is true for us. We live by a standard that is righteous and true, and it's given to us directly by God. We need to recognize that God's guidelines hold the highest standard. They're unparalleled. There's nothing like God's word and the way that it corrects us and guides us and leads us. There's nothing like that, which is why we need to make God's rules a priority. We need to make God's rules a priority in our families. Here's the thing. If your family is going to have a godly legacy, it must be a family that lives by God's guidelines. If you're not living by God's guidelines, then you're not leaving a godly legacy. Believe me, you're leaving a legacy regardless. And the word legacy doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be good. Okay, you're going to leave a legacy. You may leave a bad legacy. You may leave a legacy of carelessness. You may leave a legacy of not valuing the things of God. You may leave a legacy of addiction, of hopelessness. See, there's a lot of ways that this can go. But what God is asking us to do and what God is calling us to do as his people is to leave a godly legacy. And the only way that's going to happen is if we make his rules a priority. John 12, verse 26 says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And we see this over and over again. If we choose to serve God, if we choose to honor God, God is going to honor that decision in our lives, and he's going to bless us. And I'm not talking about a blessing where we're going to have everything we've ever wanted, right? But we are going to have our needs met, and we are going to have joy, and we're going to have happiness, and we're going to have a spiritual health. And it doesn't matter what the world throws at us or even what, you know, our physical bodies do to us, right? We're still going to trust God, and we're still going to be at peace in him. I love what Psalms 19, verse 7 says. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Man, Psalms 19 is a really good psalm. It's all about God's word and how we use it. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. You ever felt like your soul needs to be revived? Like your soul's tired? You know, it's like you can't explain why you feel so fatigued. It's not necessarily a physical thing, but your soul feels weary. Dig into God's word. The Bible says that it revives the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. You know the word simple? That's not a good thing, right? We don't want to be simple. We don't want to be foolish. We want to be wise. We want to be able to make good decisions. We want to have discernment. And that's what God's word does to us. It does that to our thinking. We follow God's rules. We live according to God's rules. And then we experience the blessing that God has because we're honoring him in that way. Jonathan Edwards said this. He said, every Christian family ought to be, as it were, a little church consecrated to Christ and wholly influenced and governed by his rules.
Think about that. You ever think of your family as a church? That's kind of weird, right? You're like, well, my family's not a church. It's part of a church, right? No, but, you know, your family is a place where you honor God, where you bring honor to God, where God is giving you everyday opportunities to bring him honor, to point others to him. It is like a church, consecrated to Christ, wholly influenced and governed by his rules. All right, let's look at verse 9. Moses tells the people, but watch out, be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live. Why is he saying watch out or beware? Because this is something that we're susceptible to do. It's easy for us to just walk away and forget what God told us and forget about what God's done for us. That's very easy for us to do. So what we need to do is we need to make sure that you're learning and growing as a family. You're paying attention to God and that you're learning and you're growing. You're not forgetting the things that you hear and the things that you learn, but you're keeping them before you so that you can learn and grow as a family. A family with a godly legacy is intentional about learning from God and growing as they walk through life together. It takes intentionality. Remember I said at the beginning, it's hard work, right? That's one of the things that makes a godly family unique, is that they're willing to put in the hard work in order to leave that godly legacy. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. And sometimes you look at your family, you look at how, you know, maybe the direction your kids are going, you're like, oh my gosh, this isn't anything the way I thought it was going to go. It's like nothing's following the plan. Why is that? Because it's not easy, because the world is out to get you. Like everything is attacking you and trying to tear you down. You have to be defensive. You have to be intentional when it comes to leaving a godly legacy. Romans 15:4 tells us, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. And so important. God has given us the scripture so that we can learn. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would rather learn from someone else's mistakes instead of your own? Yeah, I'm all about that. I'm all about somebody else getting injured and me saying, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing it that way, right? I wasn't the first kid testing out the bike ramp in the front of the house. I let the neighborhood kid, you know, get hurt. And then I'll be like, yeah, that's not how the ramp was supposed to be built, right? But God has given us his word so that we can learn from the mistakes of others. That's what this verse is insinuating, that there are things that we can learn from the way people have dealt with situations, and we can say to ourselves, that's not how you deal with that situation. You know, sometimes people look at stories in the Bible and they're like, well, why is that story in there? You know, it's contradictory. You know, it's showing, you know, this bad thing that happens, right? This resolution isn't good, and so it shouldn't be in the scripture. But the scripture is authentic. It's real life. It shows how things play out when you don't obey God and you don't follow after him. And so that's why there's story after story of failures and disasters and catastrophes, because God wants us to learn from the mistakes of others. And so that is the best way to learn, right? There's no better way to learn than from watching how other people mess things up, and then you're like, okay, I'm not going to do that. God's word plays a huge role in that. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4 says, my child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Man, the Proverbs are so, so good. Just so practical. But when it comes to paying attention to God's word, taking notice of what God has to say, it is vitally important that we are doing that in God's word, that we're growing together and learning together as a family so that we can walk through this life together. Here's the fourth thing, verses 9 through 10. Be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Never forget the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where you told me, summon the people before me, and I will personally instruct them. Then they will learn to honor me as long as they live, and they will teach their children to honor me also. What is he saying here? What is so important about God's law being presented to his people so that it gets handed down to their children and to their children's children? We need to be sure that God's legacy is being handed down.
We need to be sure that we're passing along the truth and the teachings of God's word to our kids so that they can pass them on to our grandkids, so that our grandkids can pass it on to their kids. You understand what I'm saying? When I talk about a legacy, it's passing along all the things that God wants us to do and what he wants family to look like. It's our responsibility to make sure that those things are handed down. A family with a godly legacy makes sure their immediate and future family members have every opportunity to follow Jesus. We don't think a lot about our future family following after Jesus. And we might think about our immediate family, like, you know, our own kids, our own spouse, like the people that we're with all the time. Sure, it's important that, you know, we got to deal with them all the time, right? So we want them living right. But we don't often think about the generation to come. We don't think about the grandkids until we have grandkids, and then we're like, oh, that's pretty important, right? But do you realize that the things that you're instilling in your children right now are going to be the things that they're instilling in their children? You don't even have grandchildren yet, maybe, and you're already teaching your grandchildren through your children, is basically what this is talking about. D.L. Moody said this. He said, a man ought to live so that everybody knows he's a Christian, but most of all, his family ought to know. And that's, at first, that's kind of a funny statement. Like, he's like, you know, of course my family knows I'm a Christian, but do they really? Do they see you putting into practice the things of God? The home is the hardest place, the most difficult place to put those things into practice. The people in your house know you, the inside and out, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly, right? They know everything. So it's the hardest place for you to lift up and honor God. But it's our responsibility. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, you shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house, and when you're walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. That pretty much covers everything, right? It's like every moment is a teaching opportunity. It's a time to build a legacy. Every decision you make, every action you take, those are opportunities to add to the godly legacy that you're building. Psalm 78, verse 4 says, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. These aren't things we keep hidden from our kids. We don't tell ourselves, oh, my kids will just figure it out, right? I actually grew up around families that kind of had that attitude, where they were a little bit hands-off when it came to the kids. They're like, oh, you know, my kids will figure it out. I don't want to, like, you know, force them to follow Jesus and you know, chase after him. So I'm just going to kind of let them do that on their own. In one sense, it is true that you do want your kids to make their faith their own. You want them to embrace their own faith. You don't want them to, like, live off of your faith forever. But at the same time, don't you want to, like, nudge them in the right direction? Don't you want to, when you see them going down a wrong path or taking the wrong turn, don't you want to come up alongside them and say, hey, that's not a direction we're heading. That's not what our family does. That's not what we do here. That's what we're talking about. It's about allowing them to develop their faith, but you're right there guiding and leading them in that. And that goes for each other, too. Husbands and wives, we do that in each other's lives in the same way. We give each other counsel. We give each other advice. We say, hey, I don't think that's such a great idea. Does it line up with the godly legacy that we want to leave? Is that a conversation that we're having in our families? As a family that loves Jesus and wants others to know him, your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God is the legacy that you'll build to inspire others to pursue Jesus also. That's part of the Great Commission, right? It's part of what God assigned us to do, to share his love, to make sure that everybody else in the world hears the gospel. And if they're not audibly hearing the gospel, they're seeing you live it out. They're seeing the legacy that your family is leaving. And my friends, people notice. People notice. If you notice when a family's living in a godly way, then you know others are going to notice when you do that as well. It's our responsibility. I hope and I pray that we take it serious and that we recognize that God has given us these clear instructions and guidelines, And he's given us this responsibility to follow after him and to leave a legacy so that our kids will do the same thing, so that our grandkids will do the same thing, so that their children, so that generation after generation, what you started continues to be perpetuated. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for loving us enough to be a part of our lives. Thank you for loving us enough to set down rules and guidelines and to give us instruction so that we would know what it looks like to be a family that leaves a godly legacy. And help us to do that. Father, help us to put in the hard work that it takes to do that. We know it's not going to be easy, but we know it's going to be the most rewarding way to live. So help us do that. Help us to be thinking about that now, to be thinking about the future, our future family, and what they're going to look back on. We love you, God. Help us to do that. If you're here today, maybe this is the first time you've been introduced to this idea of a godly legacy. Maybe it's the first time you're thinking in these terms. You're like, oh man, I need to get to work. Yeah, now is the moment. Now is the time to get serious about it. If you'd like prayer, if you'd like for me to pray with you, just lift up your hand. I'd love to pray for you right now. Pray that God gives you, thank you. Anybody else? Pray that God gives you the strength, the endurance, thank you, faithfulness to follow through. Awesome. God, thank you. Thank you for these family members who have said, yes, this is what I want to do. God, I pray that you would honor that desire and that you would give them the ability, give them an extra measure of your grace and endurance so that they can fulfill the responsibility you've given to each one of us. We know it's not easy, Father, but we want to pursue it. We want to live lives that honor you. We want others to see our families and also be inspired to pursue Jesus. Thank you, Father. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, we'll be in the back. Myself and Vince back in the back. If you need prayer, I'd love to pray with you guys. Sound good? Awesome. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.